فيهم الصلاة والسلام على أكرم المرسلين وعلى آله أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد، فنصلي محمد وعلى محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. أما بعد، محمد وعلى محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني قولي. اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا وزدنا علما يا رب العالمين. Everyone, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. So alhamdulillah, we are going to continue on the chapter on the khuluq of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is the crux of the shama'il, is talking about the characteristics, the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we know he has exemplar character. So the last 2 days we touched on the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is one way you can know about a person. There are two ways I can understand, if I meet anyone in life, there are two ways I can judge a person's, I can judge their character. I judge them by their, it's just general insan, it's not me specifically, right? Everyone judges each other, we just have this, okay, I know this person to be such and such, right? How do we do it? One way is through the person's body, their kalam, their speech, right? The way they look at me, the way they talk to me, the way they turn their body language towards me, all these things matter. And so I can judge a person, be like, okay, this person is a nice person, a rude person, things like that. One way is through that. And the second way that you judge a person is through their finances. I don't see a person's salah. I don't see your fasting. I don't see your hajj. I don't see these things. I can judge you and me, the relationship we have, by two things. One is through the way you talk to me. Second way, the way you deal with me in business. How generous are you? How nice of a person are you? And you think about the people you know in life. And you're always judging them between one of these two things. So this chapter Imam Tirmidhi rahimahullah ta'ala that he brings here is amazing, because he covered all the kalam, the speech of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second part of this chapter is going to talk about the finances, the generosity of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So he starts it off with this amazing hadith. It says here, and again I apologize, if you want to look on, you can look on. It's a very short hadith like I showed you. Sami'tu Jabir ibn Abdullah radhiyallahu anhuma. Jabir radhiyallahu anhu says, يقول ما سئل رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم شيئا قط فقال لا. The Prophet ﷺ would never be asked of anything. If it came to anyone asking him for anything of money, or dinars, or dirhams, or anything, the Prophet ﷺ, you'd never find him to say no. And it's not just, I know again we're talking about money, and transactions, and finance, and generosity, etc., right? Sadaqah. The Prophet ﷺ would never say anyone to no at all. If you asked him to come over, the Prophet ﷺ would come over. You gave him a da'wah to eat something small, he would come over and eat that small, whatever you said. If you said to come over here, you'll meet someone over there. He would go to so many janazas. You know, when hadarul maut, when people are about to pass away, you always want the mawlana, the alim to be there, present. And you can imagine then in the area of Medina, who wouldn't want the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in their house? So he used to get called all the time. To the point that sahaba told everyone, do not tell the Prophet that someone's passing away. Only announce it when janazah is about to happen. Because the Prophet's time would be used. Because he would never say no. To the point that a poet said so beautifully, he said, مَا قَالَ لَا قَطُّ إِلَّا فِي تَشَهُدِهِ. He never said no except in his tashahud. Because the tashahud says what? أَشْهَدُ أَلَّا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ لَوْلَا تَشَهُدُ كَانَ لَأُهُ نَعَمْ. They said if it wasn't for his tashahud, his la would be also yes. Because the Prophet would just keep saying yes to everyone. And so when people have, someone complained to me or said something to me, they said, I can't say no to anyone. I said, Mubarak sifat you have. Mubarak sifat you have. Because the Prophet ﷺ had this sifat, that he could not say no. That's why, me too, I can't say no to anyone, you know. I can't lie, it's just not in me. It just makes me feel so bad. My brother said, when you're getting out of Lord Baron, write your address to be different. I'm like, I can't lie to that, you know, because like they're going to follow you. I'm like, what can I do? Let them follow me to Maut, no problem. But I can't lie. I can't say no, right? What can we do? This is how we are inside Musliman. Allah to give us hidayah and understanding. So they used to come to the Prophet ﷺ all the time. And so we see this in the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ. And Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu qala kana Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ajwada an-nas bil khayr. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the most generous with all forms of good. And you know this to be the case. وَكَانَ, because you hear this hadith every Ramadan. وَكَانَ أَجْوَدَ مَا يَكُونُ فِي شَهْرِ رَمَضَانِ. The Prophet ﷺ was exceptionally generous in the month of Ramadan. So he was already generous beyond compare, outside of Ramadan. When Ramadan came in, you could not compare. No one could compare. We know Uthman Ghani. Everyone knows Uthman Ghani. How Ghani was Uthman Ghani radiallahu anhu? One time in a drought, in a famine in Medina, there was no food or anything whatsoever. Right? And so Uthman radiallahu anhu, you know, so the people of Medina are worried and scared for everyone. And then they see this huge 1,000 caravan camel come in to Medina. And they're so shocked. And again, every camel has foods and all these different supplies. It's all coming in. And they're seeing all the camels being loaded where? To the place of Uthman radiallahu anhu. And so Uthman radiallahu anhu says to all the traders, like, come in. And then he brings in all the merchandise. And then he closes the door. So all the traders of Medina, all the businessmen of Medina came to Uthman radiallahu anhu's door. And they knocked on his door. And they said, you know what, we need to purchase all this stuff for the people of Medina. So they go to Uthman radiallahu anhu, they knock on the door, Uthman radiallahu anhu comes out. And they say, yeah, Uthman, we're willing to pay double the price of whatever you have here. We're willing to pay 2 to 1. If it's, you know, if it's 1, we're going to pay double it. Uthman radiallahu anhu said, no, I have a better offer. Better offer than 2 to 1? What? Even Bitcoin isn't that great, you know? Like, it's just like, you know? And so, okay, they said 3 to 1. We'll triple the price. He said, I have a better offer. Who can offer more than that? Then 5 to 1. We'll offer 5 to 1. They said, we can't go any higher than that. 5 times, you know, quintuple the price. And he's, I have a better offer. And then he said to them, he's like, there's like, who could offer better than us? He said, can any of you offer 10 to 1? They said, we can't offer 10 to 1. That's absurd. That's extraordinary. We can't do that. He said, my Allah promised me 10 to 1. So he said, all these camels are for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallah. This man, Uthman, they say the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was more generous than him. I gave you that as an example to tell you who the Messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was. And they said he was more generous in Ramadan. And why was he generous in Ramadan? And this is amazing. حَتَّى يَنْصَدِقَ until the month ended. فَيَأْتِيهِ جِبْرِيلَ عَلَيْهِ السَّلَامِ because Jibreel عليه السلام will come to him. فَيَعْرِضُ عَلَيْهِ الْقُرْآنِ so the Prophet عليه السلام will read Quran to Jibreel عليه السلام. And so because the Prophet doesn't read Quran to Jibreel عليه السلام, and when you have a when you meet a pious person, you just want to give more khayr. So the Prophet عليه السلام meets Jibreel عليه السلام, which is his ustaz. You can consider him the muallim. He's the teacher of Nabi عليه السلام. And so because of that happiness, the Prophet wants to give more. So now, mashallah, whenever you meet Mawla Osman again, a little bit more sadaqah in the box, inshallah. You know, it's okay, it's okay. Because why? Because this is, you practice on the hadith, mashallah. Okay? And when Jibreel alayhi salam would come to the Prophet alayhi salam, we know that, of course, he was more generous than the strong wind. He would bring so much khayr and barakah from whatever Nabi alayhi salam used to spend. And you have to understand, the Prophet alayhi salam didn't have a lot. But you can see his level of tawakkul. An Anas radiallahu anhu, qala kana an-nabiy sallallahu alayhi salam la yaddakhiru shay'an li ghadin. The Prophet ﷺ would never store anything for the next day. Allahu Akbar. The Prophet ﷺ would never store anything for the next day. So meaning what? The Prophet ﷺ started the day with nothing. He'll get something in the day, and at the end of the day, he'll end up with nothing again. Every day ending up with zero, alayhi salatu wasalam. You know, this is, I'm not saying zero in terms of deen. The Prophet ﷺ had everything. But think about the worldly things. Could anyone even do that? If I were to tell anyone, brother, haram na, fridge haram, yani, you know, eject fridge, you know, Mullah ﷺ needs fridge now, come on. You know, we would never be able to do it. Again, we'd see someone who lived that lifestyle and be like, you're killing yourself. What are you doing? You're not enjoying. You're not living the luxury. But this is Nabi of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He said, if I had the amount of gold of Uhud, if I had the weight of Uhud in gold, he said, I would not want 3 days to go except I spent everything fi sabilillah. This is how the Prophet was. That's why Mufti Pahapuri Sahib said something very interesting, rahimullah ta'ala, which I just want everyone to think about. Again, I'm not saying the fatwa against your fridges, okay? I'm not here to take away your food or things like that. Mawla Sahib is hungry. No, definitely not. Definitely not about that, okay? But I want you to think about this. Mufti Pahapuri Sahib one time, rahimullah, was interviewed. And they're talking about fatawa, etc., fatwas. And he said, look, the job of a mufti is very, very delicate. Very, very delicate. He said, you don't understand that he has to think 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years in the future. He gave an example of the fridges. He said, there was once upon a time when people, they could not save their qurbani meat. They could not save their qurbani meat. So what did they used to do? Dry it or so much sadaqah. So much sadaqah. You'd not find an empty belly. But what happens now? Because we have fridges. He said, we can store it. And he said at the end, he said the same thing I just told you. I'm not saying it's haram. I'm just saying we have to think about these things. There's a consequence when we decide something. Now sadaqat has been lessened and reduced. And so the Prophet ﷺ had a high level of tawakkul. He had such a high level of tawakkul. If Allah fed me today, He'll feed me tomorrow. He feeds me like He feeds the birds. Allah lets them go out every morning, empty stomach, come back full stomach. This is how the Prophet ﷺ was. Allah give us understanding and appreciation for this man. I know because I don't even want anyone to do it because you'll die from your family. Your wife will kill you. Okay. Don't say, Mawasa, he told us to not have anything. I'm going to destroy the fridge today. That's not what I told you. I told you just appreciate the Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, about how amazing his person was. Alayhi salatu wasalam. How far did he go? And Umar radiallahu anhu. Umar radiallahu anhu, one time he narrates this, that a man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam, and he goes and says that, Ya Rasulullah, يُعْطِيَهُ, give me something. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ, so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam said, مَا عِنْدِي شَيْءٍ. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasalam told him, I don't have anything. He didn't say no. This is the thing. When we get a da'wat, we don't say no. You should say, I'll try inshallah, and I'll try my best, and if I can't, then such and such, you know? Please forgive me, etc. But we should never say no, because again, it can hurt the person's heart. Try your best. You know, again, if it works out, alhamdulillah, it doesn't work out, alhamdulillah, right? But don't ever upset a person, frustrate them, or make them feel bad. So the Prophet didn't say no, I'm not going to give you. He said, I don't have anything right now. But the Prophet said this, amazing. He said, وَلَكِنِ ابْتَعْ عَلَيَّ, buy something on my name. Whatever you want to buy, put it on my tab. Okay? فَإِذَا جَاءَنِي شَيْءٌ قَضَيْتُهُ, and when something comes to me, some money comes to me, I'll fulfill it for you. So Umar رضي الله عنه hears this, and he's shocked. فَقَالَ عُمَرَ رضي الله عنه, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَدْ أَعْطَيْتُهُ. Umar said, Ya Rasulullah, qad a'taytahu. I'm sorry, Rasulullah sorry, he said, Ya Rasulullah, you have given him. Okay? فَمَا كَلَّفَكَ اللَّهُ بِفِي مَا لَا تَقْدِرُ عَلَيْهِ. Then the Prophet said, I'm sorry, Umar said, Allah Ta'ala does not burden you with something you have no ability over. Why are you taking a debt? Why are you asking someone to take a tab on you? That's not what Allah Ta'ala told you to do. Umar was saying something about the Prophet saying, don't do this, Ya Rasulullah. Just let it go. And so Umar was worried about the person of the Prophet ﷺ. What did the Prophet ﷺ do at that moment? فَكَرِهَا قَوْلَ عُمَرَ رَضِي اللَّهُ. The Prophet ﷺ did not like what Umar said. You could see it on his face, he was upset. فَقَالَ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. So the man came to save the day. A man from the Ansar came to save the day. He said, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ أَنْفِقْ وَلَا تَخَفْ مِنْ ذِي الْعَرْشِ إِقْلَالًا. He said, oh, يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, spend. And don't worry about poverty from the one who holds the arsh. He says, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the provider. So keep giving, Ya Rasulullah. Spend and spend and spend. Don't worry, Allah will never make you poor. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tabassama, he smiled. وَعُرِفَ فِي وَجْهِ الْبِشْرِ. And you could see that the Prophet was happy because of the speech of the Ansari. ثُمَّ قَالَ بِهَذَا أُمِرْتُ. And the Prophet tells everyone, this is what I've been commanded to do. To keep spending and spending and spending. And don't worry, because the money is coming from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is how a Muslim should be. You shouldn't be scared. There was once a man, and I mention this incident every single time because it amazes me. A man came to the Prophet ﷺ and said, Ya Rasulullah a'tani, Ya Muhammad a'tani. He wasn't a Muslim at the time. He said, oh Muhammad, give to me. The Prophet ﷺ took him to a valley. It's hadith of Muslim. He took him to a valley, and there were goats upon goats in that valley, full of goats. The Prophet ﷺ says, whatever you see in this valley is yours. Sadaqa fi sabilillah. The man went back to his community and town. He went back to his village and told everyone, He said, Ya Qawmi, Aslim. He told everyone, accept Islam. فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا he يُعْطِي عَطَاءَ مَنْ لَا يَخْشَى الْفَقْرِ. That this Muhammad ﷺ, he gives like a person not scared of poverty. When Muslims are not scared of becoming poor again, you're going to see the masajid being more beautiful. The masajid, the madaris being more beautiful. The children being full in the masjid, mashallah. You'll see that the entire situation Muslims will be lifted. When we're not afraid anymore. But everything about us is, I'm scared of the money. I can't give it away, I'm so scared. This is not our sunnah, not the sunnah of Muslims. Because this is the sunnah of the Muslims, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is the sunnah. We are scared of other things. We're scared because the non-Muslims made us scared. But when you can give freely, when Allah Ta'ala tells you, Hadith Qudsi, Ya Ibn Adam, Anfiq. Allah Ta'ala says, O son of man, son of Adam alayhi sallam, spend. Unfiq alayk, I'll spend on you. Allah said, you spend freely. Watch me spend on you. Now your bank account is limited. How about the account of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Okay, I'm not doing a chanda right now. Okay, there's no box here. I'm not going to say at the end, please donate to Burden Anything Masjid, which we could do. You know, because this chapter, mashallah, has such beautiful points like that. But we need to reflect on ourselves. How much are we giving in generosity? I'm telling you, as a first world country, it pains my heart. Because you guys all you all know the situation back home. People who don't even have general needs and necessities of life. And you and I are enjoying living the life, buying 3 or 4 or 5 TVs on Black Friday. Our heart should hurt that my Muslim brother and sister can't find something to eat at night, and look at me, I'm surviving so well. You know, Allah give us understanding. Everyone just like, how much is zakat? That's what we do. It's like, how much is zakat? I wish I could just tell people it's 10%. People are like, what? You know, because 2.5 is all we want to give, because we don't want to give any more than that, because we're so attached to this wealth. Wallahi, when we die, whatever's left in the bank account was never ours anyways. Whatever risk you consumed is yours. You go into the grave, you raise on the day of judgment, that's yours. Whatever you left behind is not ours. Allah give us understanding. So then he goes and says, this is what I've been commanded. And now look at the generosity of the Prophet ﷺ, how he repaid people. And Mu'awid ibn Afra radiallahu anhu, قال أتيت النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بقناع من رطب وأجر زغب. He said, I came to the Messenger of Allah ﷺ with a plate of dates and cucumbers. And we spoke about this in our earlier Shema'ala program. But the Prophet ﷺ liked to mix opposites. When you eat, you should eat something with opposite, right? So dates are hot and wet. And so, dates are hot and dry. And cucumbers are wet and cool. And so you mix them together. And this is a type of flavor, it's a type of medicine. It has a basis in Islam. I don't want to say homeopathic because that term is very abused. There's a bit more in it. Islamic homeopathic medicine is a very big field, and you should really understand what it is. But the idea is mixing opposites is one of the realities that the Prophet ﷺ used to do, alayhi salatu salam. Okay, but this is entirely other discussion. It's not for today. So he used to mix these things, and he liked them, right? So if you're getting any ice cream, I have some Doritos with that too. You know, spicy. Put them together, whatever, you know, make it a jobiho, right? That's why I think if you guys notice, the raita goes with the spicy. Subhanallah. You know, like, think about it. You know, mashallah, it's all in the deen. It's all in the deen, mashallah. So this man gave these dates and cucumbers to the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and the Prophet said, Jazakallah khairan. He gives him a handful of jewelry and gold. Subhanallah. Alayhi salatu wasalam. It's just, he would take, you give him something small, he gives you something beyond that. This is and the Prophet is teaching us about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because when you give something small to Allah, small dua, small two rakats, He changes the world for you. He changes the world for you. This is what the Prophet is teaching us. When you give to Allah, you give small. When Allah gives back, He gives you huge. Okay, and then the final hadith on this chapter, as Aisha radiallahu anha would say, the Prophet would accept gifts. Right, if you wanted to give to the Prophet, you could not give sadaqah, of course, because sadaqah is haram for the Ahlul Bayt, right, the family of the Prophet to take. So the Prophet would accept gifts though. But he wouldn't take it like handouts, right? وَيُثِيبُ عَلَيْهَا. He would give back on top of that, right? And you can understand that because the hadith of the Prophet would says, that he said, I paid back everyone in dunya. Whoever gave me anything in dunya, I paid them back. And you have to understand that because there are people who are so wealthy. Abdurrahman ibn Auf, Uthman radiallahu anhu, so wealthy. The Prophet said, they gave me gifts, I managed to give them back. I tell you myself, personally speaking, because I always try to practice on the sunnah, where certain people give such gifts that my heart just explodes and feels so sad. I wish I could pay them back. But the Prophet ﷺ taught us, if you feel you cannot pay someone back, make dua for them. Until you feel like you paid them back. That's what you should do. If you feel like I can never pay this person back properly, your teachers, you know, the ulama, people who give you such extraordinary gifts, you can't pay them back, your parents, right? Make dua for them until you feel like you're satisfied the whatever they gave you. But the Prophet ﷺ was such an amazing person that anyone, Uthman, Abdurrahman, etc., he would give them back. He said, I paid back everyone in their dunya except for Abu Bakr. I could not pay back Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu for what he's done. Okay? So the Prophet ﷺ would always return whatever he gave. He wouldn't just take a handout. If you gave something to the Prophet ﷺ, expect a gift back. Now, is it jayz to give a gift to expect a gift? Give you one fatwa for today, right? That you cannot, it's not jais to, it's haram. If you give a gift and expect that someone will give me back. When you give a gift, it should be fi sabilillah. I want this person to be happy and let them have a smile on their face. If they give me back or not, whatever. Okay? Sometimes we give the bartan, right? You give the container, expecting a full container back. Okay? it's not the right way. Okay? So Allah give us understanding, inshallah. We're going to start this hadith. Okay, it might take us one more day, inshallah, to get through it. But we're just going to really read through it. Because I just want you all to appreciate. This is really about the gatherings of the Prophet. It's the second hadith now on the page, if you'd like to follow along. Because Mawsab already gave such chanda speech that we're waiting for Ramadan now. Inshallah, make niyyah. Masjid definitely needs help. Corona had really taken its toll on our bodies and on our masajid finances as well. Mashallah, there's a great opportunity now to give back for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So think about these things, inshallah. Make niyyah that I will give something big for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to get these things back on their feet, inshallah. Okay? So this hadith here is from Hassan radiallahu anhu, who narrates from Hussein radiallahu anhu. Okay? Who are they? The grandsons of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Hassan is the younger or older? older brother narrating from younger brother. What happened was Hassan radiallahu anhu tried to talk to Hind, which was like his, you can consider him like his foster brother. The Prophet was, you know, he married other, Khadija radiallahu had children from other husbands, right? And so Khadija radiallahu anha had another kid named Hind, okay? And so this was like the uncle of Hassan radiallahu anhu. So he asked him, and he got a lot of information from him about how the Prophet was, because Hind grew up with him, radiallahu anhu. So then what happened was Hassan was, he used to feel really good about himself, that I know a lot of hadith that Hussein doesn't know, right? So he used to, you know, one day finally conversation came up about the Prophet's sifat, and Hassan's like, you know, I have a lot of information. And Hussein's like, really? He's like, yeah, I do. He's like, who'd you hear from? He said, I heard from Hind, our uncle, right? Radiallahu anhu. He's like, really? I heard it from him too, same exact stuff. And Hussein radiallahu said, and I also heard from our father Ali. And Hassan's like, oh man, I never even asked our dad. Right? So Hussein radiallahu has this entire material that Hassan radiallahu didn't even have. But look at the honesty of the older brother with the younger brother. If he has hadith, I'll narrate. Okay? You're not going to be like, an rajulin, from another guy. I don't know who he is, you know? He narrates from his younger brother. He says, sa'al tu abi. I asked my father, an siratin nabi sa'isam fi julasa'ihi. I asked about the Messenger of Allah sa'isam amongst his companions. Okay? And he said, meaning when the Prophet was amongst his companions. فَقَالَ Ali radiallahu anhu said, كَانَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ سَلَّمْ دَائِمًا بِشْرٍ. He said the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was always happy. He was سهل الخلق, easy going. And he was لَيِّنَ الْجَانِبِ, he was very compassionate, alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. لَيْسَ بِفَضْلٍ, he wasn't hard-hearted. وَلَا غَلِيظٍ, and he wasn't harsh. The Prophet's attitude was always so relaxed. You come into such a relaxed gathering. You didn't come here to, you know, be like in a box, you know, tight. The Prophet will make the gathering very relaxed. Everyone just noticed it about the Prophet ﷺ. Just a smiling, happy person. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَلَا سَخَابٍ, he did not scream while speaking. وَلَا فَحَاشٍ, nor was he rude. وَلَا عِيَّابٍ, and nor did he speak, you know, with the aib of people. Or the indecency. He wouldn't speak indecently or speak about other people's faults. He did not مُشَاحٍ. Okay, the word عِيَّاب comes with a couple of interpretations. It's one is that, and I wrote them all here, it's either that he didn't speak with other people's faults, he did not seek other people's faults. The Prophet ﷺ would not go around looking for people's aib, nor would he ever mention anyone's aib. If our gatherings are full of people's aib, then we know we're doing something wrong. The Prophet ﷺ was never like that. وَلَا مُشَاحٍ, and he was never stingy. Okay? And we'll just do the next one here. يَتَغَافَلُ عَمَّا لَا يَشْتَهِ, he would pretend not to notice that which he did not desire. Okay? It's the quality of the pious people that when something is presented to them that they don't want, they just pretend not to notice it. Okay? So if something bad happens or something weird happens, they just pretend not to notice it. People think the alim is ghafil. The alim is not negligent. The alim is pretending to be ghafil. That's mutaghafil in Arabic. He's just pretending to do that. And so this is a great way. If someone, for example, we'll finish with this story. This Qadi Asam. The Qadi's title was the Deaf. Okay? And the reason why they called him the Deaf was because one time a woman came into the Qadha to give a case, and he listens to her case, and in the middle of it, she ends up passing gas. How embarrassing is that? Extremely shameful. Extremely red. You turn so red. So the Qadi, because he knows how embarrassed a person would be, he pulls his ear forward and says, did you say something? I couldn't hear you. And because of that, they called him Asam. They called him the Deaf. Because of the fact that he pretended not to notice something that happened in front of him. It's a great quality to have, just to pretend. If someone does something embarrassing in front of you, just not to notice it. Why bother mentioning it? A lot of things happen in front of us, right? We can just pretend like it never happened. Right? This is a beautiful quality that the Prophet ﷺ had. And inshallah, that will continue from there tomorrow, inshallah. Okay? May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all tawfiq and hidayah. And allow us, inshallah, that along with this, we make intention, inshallah, to go on the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because in order to get these qualities, you'll meet all these different types of people, and you'll get an opportunity, inshallah, in those places to actually apply these qualities. Everyone make intention, inshallah, spend some time in the path of Allah, and join our regular jawla every Wednesday, inshallah ta'ala. JazakAllahu khairan wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Muhammad wa alayhi wa sallam.